the John Curley and Sherry Elicker Show. Thank you so much for listening on this Friday. Jake Skorheim is in for John. Jake, I have to tell you, I'm beginning to get a little bit worried about Joe Mama.
How so? Well, I mean, I am too, but for different reasons,
Joe
probably.
Mama.
This is it the third or fourth nude story that we've had today?
It's National No Pants Day.
Yeah, I don't know. It feels like you're really leaning into this nude
thing. It's a theme. Come on, guys.
All right.
Okay. All right. Well, at Harvard, they decided they were going to take their Primal Scream Day, which I guess is at the end of the final semester, and run around like a bunch of naked undergrads.
And what do they do? They just show up really early? Is this at midnight that they do this on the campus? Basically, they show up with no pants. Is this for No Pants Day? Is this a connection to that?
No.
Unrelated, but it is full nude streaking and a tradition at Harvard, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, at 11:55 p.m., they strip naked and they run around like crazy.
Oh, yeah, just streaking. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
But this time it was a little more complicated because they had to navigate through the pro-Palestinian tents and protesters and people yelling and everything.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
And they said it really wasn't that problematic, that they were left alone, that nobody seemed to bother them. And this one guy says, the primal scream is a spiritual experience for me.
I don't know if you already mentioned this, but they've been doing this since 1995. Mm-hmm. People have been, you know, I guess this just has become one of those wonderful warm traditions that happens at Ivy League schools. Probably like these encampments will become a tradition at these Ivy League schools, I imagine, going forward. I doubt people who are in the encampments will also be doing the streaking, but I don't know that for sure.
Well, that would make it more interesting, actually.
Right.
It would if everybody was just naked. That would be a strange, like, connection there. But a lot of times they have, in years past, the Harvard University band has also participated in the streaking event, but apparently this year they decided not to. And I don't know if that has anything to do with the encampments.
Probably. They probably didn't want to seem like they were politicizing their streaking. But to me, the streaking, it seemed almost as an act of protest against the protesters. So like, hey,
yeah,
you know, you guys are getting all this attention, you know, maybe.
Look at us.
Yeah, look at us. We're
gonna
naked
top you,
and we're going to run
naked
around. Yeah.
In the article here, one of the people that they talked to said that it felt like kind of a return to normalcy, if you can believe that, ironically, with people running around the campus naked.
Yeah.
They felt it was a return to a normal tradition on the Ivy League campus.
Oh, I thought maybe normalcy, meaning he grew up in a nudist camp, and so he was feeling
possible.
Very comfortable.
Yeah, that's possible,
too. That kind of normal. And all is well as the University of North Carolina Chapel Hill guys continue to collect for their fraternity for a wild big party that they wanted. Because yesterday they held up a flag as they tried to put up a Palestinian flag. Or I think they did put up the Palestinian flag. They pulled it down and put up the American flag. And they waited there for a long time, holding it up before they could. I'm not remembering what the whole thing is, why they couldn't get it in a position or something like that.
I think it was about an hour. I think the story that I read, that they were standing there for about an hour, and they were also, you know, they were being targeted by bottles and rocks, according to reports. People were throwing things at them. So they were definitely, like, putting themselves in harm's way. I'm sure when they were doing this, which has really caught total viral, it's become a viral sensation. Everybody's talking about the story. I'm assuming, when they were standing there, it was a spontaneous thing. I don't think they went there thinking, oh, we're going to go and hold this flag up. Because as they were walking by, they were attempting to tear the flag down. The protesters were attempting to tear the flag down. They go and they stand under the flag. So that's really cool that they spontaneously just said, you know what, we don't want that. We don't want this on our campus. Mm-hmm. We want to support the American flag. I would be really surprised if they thought they would be able to capitalize financially as much as they have now.
No.
On this GoFundMe.
I don't think that was organic.
Yeah, I think that, and I think that's the reason it's working.
Yeah.
I think that's the reason people are donating, is because it doesn't seem, ironically, it doesn't seem cynical that they have a GoFundMe page, because it was just like, you know, and they say they want to use it for a big kegger and have the wildest party they've ever seen to celebrate this moment.
Well, that's what the author of the GoFundMe account said. Hey, these guys are true Americans. They're patriots.
Yes.
Let's pool some cash and let them go throw a quote unquote rager. So that was the intention. I think that's why it went viral and it continues to grow.
Have you read, right. Sherry, have you gone to the GoFundMe page? Have you read the description of
Sherry's annoyed by this?
I'm not really. But let me tell you, I did read about it. Okay. And they've got up to $500,000 now.
Yeah.
And they wrote a really pretty nice statement. They said they're going to close this down after 24 hours, and that they have plenty to have a killer party and give some to great charities.
That's
I guess what they're probably going to do is that this fraternity probably has chapters and they have probably a national chapter. Maybe they'll give it. They'll have to go through them to determine which charities they can give to, or maybe they're going to distribute the money among the fraternities.
That's really
so
nice.
That's good.
That they're going to distribute it. Yeah. It's not just all going to go to this drinking.
That was my concern was that, you know, they were going to just buy, you know, as much Bud Light as they could.
Your concern was my hope, but
did you?
Okay.
Yeah.
What I loved here, I wasn't sure if you read this. You probably did, but the description of the event as recounted on their GoFundMe page, I just thought it was a funny description. They said, first, people should understand that we organize this fundraiser independently. That has been misreported by certain press outlets. I read the wrong part. I'm sorry. They said that they were, in the midst of the chaos, the screaming, the anti-Semitism, the hatred of faith and flag, stood a platoon of American heroes armored in vineyard vines in Patagonia, fueled by Zin and White Claws. These triumphant Bohemians protected Old Glory from the unwashed Marxist horde, laughing at their shrieks and wails as they threw Soviet missiles. So it's kind of tongue-in-cheek, obviously, when they wrote this. Obviously quite tongue-in-cheek. The part that I'm still surprised by is that people are still donating to this. I mean, I think probably just so they can say that they were part of the donation process, but clearly they have more than enough money. They're at $516,647. Yesterday, when they were already like had a ton of money, yesterday somebody donated 10 grand. Like that's when they already were over like 300 or 400 grand. Somebody donated 10 grand. They've had, three people donated more than $10,000. Wow. Then they have a bunch of 5,000s, and then they have a bunch of 1776s, obviously.
Nice.
But 15,849 people have donated to this, and hopefully a lot of that money goes to charity.
Let's hope so. Let's hope those patriots will spread it around a little bit.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. I'm sure they will.
Or they could just be late to every appointment they go to and have enough money to pay those late fees. The Wall Street Journal had an article today about the fact that these late fees, and I'm sure everybody has experienced this one time or another, where you show up late or you're running late, and not only do they, you know, they can send you away and not give you the service, but they also can charge you a late fee or cancellation fee for not having the appointment. And this is becoming pretty normal, even with restaurants. I had a doctor's appointment. This is so dumb. I was parked in this parking lot and I pulled into the space and there was a dumpster behind me. So pulling in was fine. But then getting out of it, like it was so close. The dumpster was so close. I had to go inside and get somebody in the building to back my car out.
Oh my God.
What was that request like? You're like, does anybody here know how to reverse? Was it a giant car?
No, it was a semi. No, yeah. You just play the damsel in distress. I've had that happen before. One time I got up on like almost like a median or something, like in a parking lot, and some random guy was walking by and I said, I'm so sorry. I'm so dumb. I'm really worried about getting the car out there. Come to find out, he worked at a car place.
Wow. And he's like,
all right, little lady, and he backed it up, and there we went.
Do you use that a lot? Being a woman, do you use your feminine wiles a lot to get things?
Well, no, I don't need that many things. I mean, but yeah, if I'm in a bind,
yeah, you're not afraid to use it.
And it's not that you're using feminine wiles. You're using you're superior to me because you have knowledge that I don't, and I would really appreciate you using that knowledge right now for me.
You think they require that they need to be made to feel that they are superior to you?
Well, they
are. Well, in driving skills, doing... they are. You're right. They are superior.
Sounds like it.
It's not a lie. Because you were saying it a second ago, like you're like pretending like you're superior to me, but you just drove up onto a curb. So you can't actually back your car up anymore.
What it was is it was a cement thing next to a parking space. And I backed out. And for some reason, I backed up over it. My back tires landed on it. And then I tried to straighten the car.
I don't know why the car would do that.
And then I pulled the car forward and I was just sitting on top of this thing.
Yeah.
And then I didn't know what to do because I didn't know how steep it was. Or, a lot of things didn't have to go wrong that day, but they did.
You and my wife must have gone to the same driving school, I think. She also.
Can I ask a question about the parking spot?
Yeah.
So you're boxed in by the dump truck or something.
The dumpster.
And you knew that it was possible to back out of it. You just knew that you were incapable of doing it. Is that basically it? Okay.
Yeah, because I was too afraid. Like, it kept beep, you know, that you have the backup beep camera, and it kept beeping, 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 and then it would do the,
that makes you anxious, really long beep
that makes you think it's right. So, yeah, so I just went in, and the guy that did it, even he had trouble. I mean, he had to maneuver.
Okay.
But so anyway, what were we talking about?
We were talking about no show.
Oh, no show.
Yeah, running late.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. So Joe can talk to this. His wife is a hairdresser, yes, and she has a pretty hefty no show late fee. What do they charge?
They just charge the full cost of the service. It's a kind of a high end salon, so it's like $150 to get your hair cut.
Jeez Louise.
And if you miss it, you have to have a card on file to even make an appointment, I think. And if you miss it, granted, she is ridiculously nice, and any of her regulars, she will never do this to. But if it's a new customer or somebody she just happens to not like, then they just automatically charge them for the full service if you're more than, I think it's like 15, maybe 30 minutes late. But they don't have a lot of wiggle room.
It makes sense because you have taken that chair spot that could have gone to somebody else, and you know, you're taking money out of
their
pocket.
And you can't start late because you're constantly booked up for the day. So your whole day gets thrown off. So.
My brother, he's a tattoo artist. I was texting him before the show and asking him. I was like, "Do you have any like chair fees or late fees if somebody doesn't show up?" And what he does is you have to put a deposit down to book your appointment.
Right.
Sounds like what Joe's talking about. Mm-hmm. And then if you don't show up for the appointment, the deposit just, you know, you lose your deposit. But again, for people who are regular customers or come in and like, you know, make him a lot of money and he's doing a lot of work for, I doubt he charges that fee.
No.
No, that's just good customer service.
Right.
But somebody pointed out in this article that there isn't any kind of reciprocal thing. So if your stylist or your doctor or whomever it is 30 minutes late, you got to sit there and take it. You don't get anything.
I'm surprised by the restaurant one. I didn't realize that restaurants are starting to, if people cancel on orders or things, I understand if you order food, then you should have to pay for that food. But if people are trying to get into restaurants for a reservation and then they don't show up, then the restaurants can ding you for that. Mm-hmm. I feel like they shouldn't be able to do that because restaurants, there's so many people walking up. They can replace that seat so quickly, and they probably will within 2 minutes of you not showing up.
I've heard it's taking advantage. Real fancy, and I've never experienced this or had to put like a deposit on a reservation, but I think that like some like Michelin starred restaurants, there is like a $50 like no show fee or something like that.
Okay. Well, if it's Michelin star, I guess that makes sense.
Well, yeah. And if they've reserved that table and everything's by reservation, then it's a little more complicated.
Like,
and
I get it. Applebee's? Like, Applebee's not going to ding me if I don't show up for my if I want to go.
They might.
Because it's automatic seating. Like, if I'm sitting in the bar, they can't charge me for that.
I think you're safe at Applebee's.
Yeah, I'm safe at Applebee's.
I think, do you make a lot of reservations at Applebee's?
Well, if you want to get a seat on a Friday night, you kidding?
Woo.
The place is hopping.
Really?
You can go to the neighborhood.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
This is interesting. This is out of Japan, and this is an airport that has never lost a single piece of luggage. So when I read this, I thought, big deal. They're probably some dinky little airport, and, you know, didn't really have many people anyway. No.
It's huge. It's massive.
Huge.
Yeah.
30 million passengers a year.
Isn't that crazy?
It is crazy. And they go to extremes to make sure that your luggage is well taken care of.
They apparently they have like multiple ground crew who like double, triple check each other. so that they make sure that no bag ever even has the possibility of getting lost. Not only that, but like if your bag is on one of those carts that's driving, you know, from the check-in area to the, the terminal to the plane, if it gets wet, they dry it. They'll like stop and dry it along the way. It's just above and beyond. And even I had that same reaction when I saw this, like, oh, 30 years without a bag getting lost. I went, eh. it doesn't, like, that's an amazing accomplishment. Yeah. I mean, like, when you think about 30 million people a year times 30 years, I can't even do that math.
It's a lot of,
that's a lot of millions.
Yep.
That's a, that is a lot. And, the other thing they do.
But do I care? No, not really.
No, not really. but the other thing they do, which people should learn to do this at airports, they put the on the conveyor belt, they put the handles facing forward. So you can easily pull your bag out. Yeah, I think that's very smart.
Those Japanese, they know, they're so smart.
They got it. Yep, they got it all over us at this airport.
They got it.
You know,
they got it.
Yep. Hey, coming up, I do want to get to that story that's upsetting Jake. So we'll get to that in a minute. But these celebrities that take on causes that are a little bit cringy, what are they thinking? We'll talk about that. Halle Berry is going to be the spokesperson, I guess, or the someone that's talking about a particular subject. So we'll tell you what's going on with her. Well, thank you, Jake Skorheim, for that and for filling in for John Curley here on the John Curley and Sherry Elicker Show. We'd love to hear from you. By the way, this is brought to you by Bucky's Auto Service Center, 16 locations, and they've been open for 53 years. So make sure you check out Bucky's. 1-888-973-5476. That is the Muckle Shoot Resort text line. Or you can go to mynorthwest.com. Send us something that tells us what you're thinking. This is not uncommon.
Nice.
Please, I mean, just be nice. Frank Zappa did it. Charlton Heston did it. There have been a number of celebrities who have gone, but Michael J. Fox, just for you.
Oh, yeah, I know that one well.
Yes. They've testified before Congress for things that they felt very passionate about, and it's usually a personal cause. Well, Halle Berry was on Capitol Hill. Was it yesterday?
I believe this was yesterday, and she was... Yeah, this was Thursday. Yes, Thursday.
And she had an announcement to make. Do we have that announcement?
We do have that announcement. Here it is. This is Halle Berry.
I'm in menopause! Okay? The shame has to be taken out of menopause. We have to talk about this very normal part of our life that happens. Our doctors can't even say the word to us, let alone walk us through the journey of what our menopausal years look like, or our years after that.
She was joined by a group of bipartisan senators on Capitol Hill. They're pushing for legislation that would put $275 million towards research and education around menopause. The legislation calls for the federal government to spend more on clinical trials on menopause, as well as the hormone therapy that is used to treat hot flashes and other symptoms. It is interesting that she would get up there and scream like that, just to make the point, or just to really punctuate that she has menopause.
It's an interesting choice, because one of the stereotypes about women with menopause is that they're very angry. And so I'm in menopause, okay?
Is that why she... Okay.
That was an acting choice.
Acting!
Yes.
Yes.
I don't quite get it. I don't disagree with what she's trying to do, because I also agree with her where if men went through menopause, I suppose there would be more funding and more money put toward research and awareness.
About that. I'll defend that. I don't know about that.
Yeah. Well, they say that only about 23 or 24% of clinical trials have women in them.
Are you telling me that they're investing a ton of money in what would be the male, something a male would deal with at that age? Like, are they putting a ton of money into erectile dysfunction? I doubt it.
Well, they pretty much have.
I'm just kidding. No, they
resolution.
Every commercial,
a lot of
every commercial out here is an ED commercial.
I know.
Yeah,
and
everyone's got
guys,
a patch on their arm or something. Yeah.
The first person to advertise that was Bob Dole.
He did a commercial.
Bob Dole did a commercial about ED, and people loved it. Bob Dole was a cool guy, and
a sex symbol for sure.
Well,
do you guys want to hear his 1998 commercial
for ED?
Yeah.
Is this one where he's holding the pencil? do you remember that one?
I don't know.
Oh no, he
courage.
Oh.
something shared by countless Americans. Those who risked their lives. Those who battled serious illness. When I was diagnosed with prostate cancer, I was primarily concerned with ridding myself of the cancer. But secondly, I was concerned about possible post-operative side effects like erectile dysfunction, ED, often called impotence. You know, it's a little embarrassing to talk about ED, but it's so important to millions of men and their partners that I decided to talk about it publicly. And after all, it can be associated with many conditions, including prostate surgery.
Ah, we get it. But yeah, look at Bob. Yeah.
No,
attaboy. I know.
And, what
and
year
good
was
for
that?
Him.
1998. Although the video looks like it was 1968.
Sherry, per your earlier point, I like how we've taken this discussion about menopause.
Yeah, I know.
Of course, made it about men.
Made it about erectile dysfunction.
I know. Yeah. I know. And certain celebrities, maybe they do it for the money. Maybe they do it. And I don't think Halle Berry is benefiting from this. Financially or anything.
Well, no, not financially, but if they do the research and they get, you know.
But I think she's taken this on as a cause. I saw a headline the other day that said a doctor told Halle Berry that it was the worst case of herpes she had ever seen.
What?
And then come to find out it was just perimenopause.
But this is right? The female doctor. Shouldn't a female doctor be more sensitive to this than?
One would think.
One would think.
I wouldn't want that headline, you know?
Yeah, I'm just so confused by that.
I wasn't allowed to take the, when I was in high school, I wasn't allowed to take sex ed. So there's a lot of, I have a lot of questions about things. This is one of them. Does this menopause show up as herpes?
I don't that's for a bigger brain than mine. I don't know.
Okay.
I suppose you can get all kinds of different things happening to your body, but anyway, the whole point of this is that the celebrities that attach themselves to something that feel a little embarrassing. Do you think that people are more inclined to buy or accept an idea or what Halle Berry is doing, awareness attached to a celebrity? Or do you think that puts a weird mark on the celebrity?
Well, I think probably somebody like Halle Berry, she's won an Oscar. She's obviously still, I mean, she's
beautiful.
Very beautiful. I mean, Joe and I were talking about this earlier when we were watching this video, not in a weird way, but we were just saying like, she's like very striking looking.
She's almost
57.
She's almost 60 years old. And you know, she very youthful, like very, very youthful. So it's just there's a juxtaposition about her screaming about having menopause, and even though she's almost 60, but she looks very young. And so, but she was standing up there in front of who was the lady she was saying? Who's our senator here in Washington
Jayapal?
State? In Washington.
Murray.
There you go. She's standing in front of Patty Murray. Great. Like nobody wants Patty Murray to stand in front and scream that. You want Halle Berry to stand in front of a microphone and scream about menopause.
That's a great point.
It's a much more you're going to be, you know, if you're going
to
be
normalizes it to a degree.
Yeah, cuz people look up to Halle Berry. Right. They go, "Oh man, Halle Berry, she's been, you know, she's a superhero in comics and things." And even she gets menopause, then, you know,
even she gets menopause. I hate to tell you this. 50% of the world gets menopause, okay, or goes through menopause.
What
you
the heck?
Get it. Yeah.
What do you mean?
Well, if the population is 50% women, so 50% of
everyone gets this? Every female gets this?
Oh, come on. I'm not buying this. I didn't take sex ed, and you don't know that.
Well, they did. If they talked about it in that class, I wasn't there for it, and so
What did you think that just certain women like they?
Yeah, it's not like a disease. It's just something.
Yeah, I know.
I know it's not a disease. I just didn't know how it affected everybody, and you know,
it doesn't necessarily affect everybody, but every woman goes through it. It's part of the aging process,
right. Just like ED in guys.
Yeah. Yes.
No, I knew. No, I knew everybody gets it. They get it at different ages. Halle Berry got it at 57. I, you know, like everyone gets it at some point. And so that's just
Well, they don't really get it. You go through
How does somebody contract menopause is my question.
Is it contagious?
Right.
Yeah. Like if somebody has menopause, my wife is around them. Like then should we keep them out of the same room?
Well, you don't want to catch it because you don't want to go through it.
I don't want to catch it for sure. Right. With the hot flashes, that seems very uncomfortable to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I'm going to stay. All right. Good news. This is a good warning. I'm going to stay away from people with menopause just so I don't have to worry about it for a while.
Until you have to worry about it in your own life. Lisa Rinna did a commercial for Depends. You know, Lisa Rinna from The Real Housewives.
Oh, yeah. You want me to pull that one up?
Oh, you have it?
Do we have it?
No, I don't. I mean, I can get it. I'm sure we'll find it.
She did one for Depends.
Depends, oh, wow. Yes. And it was Depends, and she was in a very tight evening gown. And she said, look, you can't even see it. And she even had her husband, Harry Hamlin, kind of run his hand over that area.
In a sexy way,
that he didn't feel it. Now, they gave money to Procter & Gamble, or whoever it was that made the product, gave $225,000 to Dress for Success for her participation. They could have given more than
that. She got paid, too, right? She got paid, too.
Oh, sure,
I was sure.
Sure.
Like,
yeah.
She's not just out there telling people she's in Depends.
Well,
did you know that the adult diaper market has now grown to be larger than the baby diapers? Did you guys know that?
I believe that.
Yeah.
Because, I didn't know that.
Well, people are living so long these days. And like anytime I go in because I'm about to start buying diapers. I haven't bought diapers in a few years. Yeah. But I'm about to start buying them again in about a month. And in the diaper aisle, you have all the baby diapers, but now they're being pushed out by adult diapers. And the people, like the Lisa Rinna types that you see on these diaper packaging, it's very surprising because when I was younger, I thought, oh, these are for older people. And now I go like, oh, these are for like athletic, youthful adults.
Just real quick, I know we're running out of time, but we had a story the other day. I think it was Japan, Sherry, wasn't it? Where they were like horizontally recycling diapers because the...
What does that mean, horizontally recycling?
It means basically they're recycling diapers as diapers. So they're not like using the material for something else. They're using reusable diapers. But because they have the elder population is growing so much and people are not having kids, they have like a huge deficiency in people having children that they're basically taking kid diapers, recycling them, a very rigorous
upcycling
process.
Yeah,
and then giving them to the older generation.
Oh, I know it well. Yeah. We did some of those reusable diapers for their early kids. Because we were like, oh, it'd be great for the environment. It's better for their little tushies. And I'll tell you what, you get about a month into diapers, and you're literally like combing stuff out of those things.
Boy.
And I'll tell you, you just, and you go, oh, Huggies.
Yep.
Here we go.
Yeah, really? I'd rather catch menopause than do that.
Yeah. Well, everybody will, apparently.
Everybody will, yeah. Welcome back. You're listening to the John Curley and Sherry Elicker Show. Jake Skorheim is in for John. If you'd like to see little snippets of the show, why don't you go to our Instagram page? It's the John and Sherry Show. Sherry spelled S-H-A-R-I. Why don't you text us? You could do that, too. You could do that today. Muckleshoot Resort text line number is 1-888-973-5476 or go to mynorthwest.com. I don't know about you, but it is sending back packages to Amazon or any place is such a pain. And I know that there are some places that expect you not to send it back because it's just too much work. So you're just going to keep it. And
they'll actually they'll actually refund you and let you keep the product. Sometimes
there's some places that will do that.
Yeah.
This couple, however, bought a couple of pairs of shoes and they wanted to ship them back to Amazon, but they added a little extra something in the box. I think we've got something from NBC.
All right, here it is.
She's pretty hidden in there right now. Come on, kitty.
Galina is a little timid.
She's a hider.
It's a game she plays.
Yeah.
And she has a guilty pleasure.
She loves to play in boxes. It's just like part of her personality.
But it took her a little too far from home.
That was the worst part. We just had no idea what happened.
2 weeks ago, Galina vanished.
She just mysteriously disappeared. We had absolutely no idea what happened to her.
Carrie and Matt Clark spent hours looking for a sign of their beloved cat.
We put tons of flyers up. We contacted friends and family to help us search. We searched for a whole week.
But when it seemed all was lost,
and then we got the most amazing, insane news in the entire world.
A phone call. Galina's microchip was detected 650 miles away near Riverside, California.
I just couldn't even believe that she was in California. I thought it was a prank. Like, I still hard to wrap my brain around.
Turns out, Galina made her way to California via Amazon.
What? She was trapped in an Amazon package.
The Clarks were returning some shoes in this box.
And it was in this really big-sized Amazon package.
Galena managed to go undetected.
We had no idea, so Matt took her to... took the package to the drop-off with...
I'm going to pause it here real fast. Are you believing this story, Sherry? You believe this couple?
Yeah, if you watch them, they seem legit.
They don't seem as apologetic as they should be.
This
though.
Is there's a hole in this story. My detective knows.
Well, if you see the video, I thought too. Like, how do you not know a cat's in a shoebox?
Yeah.
But it was a really really big box.
Is it a tiny cat?
It's a pretty little cat, but they say the cat hides. I just can't imagine wrapping the box or taping the box up, carrying the box wherever you needed to go to return it, and the cat not moving around a little
bit. Yeah.
I mean, it just seems kind of totally weird. And how mad would you be at your partner if they did that? She's all happy and like, oh, we don't know where the cat goes.
Oh, my funny husband. Send her cat away again.
Oh, man. Can you imagine me if that happened to me? Oh.
You got trapped in a box. You shipped a cat?
No, my cat or
yeah,
you know,
that'd be horrible.
A dog or something. It
wouldn't go well.
No, it would not be a good thing. We got lots and lots of things to get to. I want to get to why Jake is so mad today.
Oh, I'm angry.
Just furious. And we also have an update about the Bothell City Council member who has now been arrested for second-degree murder. So with all that coming up,